This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Into the promised land, high in the Pine Mountain kudzu, got the blues.
Hello and welcome to Mountain News. I'm Alexandra Werner Winslow, and in this episode we bring you stories about four upcoming events in Letcher and Perry counties. First, we'll listen back to Ohio Valley Resource Managing Editor Jeff Young's December 2018 interview with longtime NPR reporter Howard Berkus. Berkus will be at Apple Shop on Friday, May 31st, 2019, to screen Coal's Deadly Dust, a PBS frontline investigation into the rise of black lung in the region. In this 2018 interview, Jeff Young asks Berkus about his career, his work in Appalachia, and his then-upcoming retirement.
NPR's Howard Berkus is reporting that more than 2,000 coal miners are now suffering from the most severe form of black lung disease. And despite clear warnings, industry regulators did not stop it. The investigation caps a nearly four-decade career for Berkus, who's retiring from NPR this month. Jeff Young spoke with him about how he reported this story and why his reporting kept taking him back to Appalachia's coal country.
Data loom large in this story. Berkus took a deep dive into 30 years worth of dust monitoring data from coal mines. That analysis revealed that miners were frequently exposed to toxic levels of silica dust from rock. And a review of federal records showed that industry and regulators knew the deadly consequences of that exposure long ago. But the story also draws on old-fashioned shoe leather reporting. Working with the Ohio Valley Resource, Berkus gathered dozens of interviews from sick miners in the area.
I had been determined from the beginning to try to talk to as many coal miners who are suffering from progressive massive fibrosis as possible. We interviewed 34. It's not a scientific survey, but you get a sense then of what the practices were in mines, of what the miners' lives are like, by sitting down with them and asking them, what did you experience? What was it like where you worked? Did the coal companies you worked for, did they cheat on dust sampling? But most importantly, what has this done to your life?
Where do you see this story going from here? Reaction from industry, from lawmakers?
You know, I don't know what is likely. I suspect that there will be defensiveness on the part of the Mine Safety Agency. I suspect that, you know, that the mining industry will continue what has been a pattern for them of trying to draw a distinction between black lung caused by coal dust and progressive massive fibrosis caused by silica dust. It seems to me to be a way to try to get out of paying black lung benefits. You know, no one has ever responded to whatever has been reported about what silica does to coal miners, so I don't know whether to expect anything now. It's really sad.
Let's talk a bit about what's on the horizon for you personally. This is kind of your swan song at NPR, right?
I don't know what song swans sing, but yeah, so this is my last big project. I'm retiring. My first day of retirement will be January 1st, and it was January 1st, 38 years ago, that I started as a reporter at NPR.
Wow. So you've done a lot of reporting on a lot of different topics, but you seem repeatedly drawn back to coal country and coal stories. What is it about that topic that draws you back?
I don't know. I think one thing about it is that I was really struck by the failures of regulators to do what they're required to do. And the consequences of that are really tragic. So that was kind of a shock. I think the other thing is coal is a political football in this country. You have the rhetoric of the war on coal. You have debates about whether coal can be revived. But to me, what's fundamental there is that coal miners still go to work every day. And, you know, like every other worker in America, they deserve to go home healthy and whole and alive every night. So I don't know, maybe that's what drew me to doing these stories.
NPR investigative reporter Howard Berkus. His work isn't quite done yet. Next month, the PBS program Frontline will air a documentary based on his latest reporting. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Jeff Young.
And so high, she left me high and dry. She left me crying in the country.
That was Jeff Young of the Ohio Valley Resource, interviewing longtime NPR reporter Howard Berkus in December 2018. Join Berkus for a screening of Coal's Deadly Dust, a PBS Frontline investigation into the rise of black lung in our region, at Apple Shop, Friday, May 31st at 7 p.m. The film screening will be followed by a panel discussion with Howard Berkus, radiologist Dr. Brandon Crum, NIOSH epidemiologist Scott Lanny, miners Danny Smith and Greg Kelly, and Marcy Tate from New Beginnings Pulmonary Rehab.
As cold as my tears on the pine.
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky is hosting a regional community health forum and workshop at Kane Kitchen on Thursday, June 6th, starting at 11:30 a.m. WMMT's Rachel Geringer was joined in the studio by Ben Chandler, president and CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, who tells us about the event.
I'm Ben Chandler. I'm the CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. The Foundation is a statewide organization whose mission is to try to improve the health of our people here in Kentucky. And as you can well imagine, that's a big job. We've got some significant health challenges throughout the state, not least of which is we lead the nation in cancer. So we got our work cut out for us on a lot of different fronts, and we're excited to have the opportunity to come up to Whitesburg and have a local forum to talk about some of the health issues that we're facing in Kentucky.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that forum?
That forum's going to be on June 6th, and we invite anybody to come who has an interest in the health of their community. We think that having our communities, particularly in eastern Kentucky, be healthier is good all the way around. It's good for, obviously, an individual's health, but it's also good for having a healthy workforce, being able to attract economic development. It's good just in any way that you look at it. We're going to talk specifically about the issue of smoking. We've got a particularly high rate of smoking in eastern Kentucky. That causes a great deal of damage. And we're also going to talk about the concern that we have that a whole lot of people could possibly lose their Medicaid benefits if we don't do something about that. The 1115 waiver that the governor has proposed, it has the potential of causing people to lose their benefits. We want to prevent that from happening, and we're going to try to tell people at this forum how we're going to prevent that from happening. We also want to hear from the community and their concerns, health concerns. This is about the health of the community. It's for the people of Letcher County and the region at large, and we hope that we have a good showing.
Great. What can folks expect at that forum?
Well, you can expect for us to tell you a little bit about the foundation. The foundation is 20 years old, almost. We're getting there. We're bumping up against it. And the foundation has been operating to try to influence health policies throughout our state. We want policies both on the local level and the state level that will lead to better health for our people. Again, we're pushing those policies. We need help from people all over the state. We want folks to talk to us about what policies they think would be helpful to improving health for our people. We're going to be talking also about food at this function on the 6th. We're having it at Kane, and we know that there have been some really innovative things here in Letcher County relative to food, and we want to talk about those things. It's important that people eat well. It's important that people exercise. It's important that people stay healthy. Good health is a whole lot more important than health care, and they're two different things. I've yet to meet the person who wants health care if they can have health. And we want to talk about keeping people healthy in the first place.
Hmm. I'm curious, the event is called a regional community health forum, and I wonder if there's more you could say about what community health means, kind of beyond just
it is a forum for the health of individuals and the community, but what can we do as a community to produce better health amongst our citizens? We're all tied together in a community. If we have unhealthy people in the community, it costs all of us. Poor health is a very, very costly thing on so many different levels. Not only does it cost a lot in the price of health care, but it also costs in terms of productivity. If you're not healthy, you're not going to be able to produce. In fact, if you're not healthy, you don't care about much else. There's very little else that matters if you don't have your health. So we think it is a central thing to life, basically. And we're worried about the health of our people throughout Kentucky. We look at the numbers. We know they're not good. We know that we have a whole lot of people who are struggling and have challenges for a variety of reasons. We want to talk about those challenges. We want to talk about the reasons why people are having trouble maintaining their health. And then we want to see what we can do about it.
Great. And so you mentioned these have been happening in different parts of the state.
We had one in Madisonville. It was our first one just last week. So this is our second forum throughout the state. It's the second of a series of forums. We'll probably keep doing these as long as we possibly can, because we're a statewide foundation. We represent all of the people of Kentucky, and we want to make sure that we have input and buy-in from everybody in this state. The great thing about this foundation, we have no hidden agenda. Our agenda is very, very simple. We simply want better health for our people. We want to try to produce better health for the citizens of Kentucky. And to the extent that we can get that done, we'll be very happy.
The day begins with lunch and networking at 11:30 a.m. and includes a community forum from 12 to 1:30 p.m., followed by a workshop called Building Healthier Communities from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. Stay for a free dinner from the Kane Kitchen and the Letcher County Farmers Market from 4 to 7 p.m. For more information, phone Mary Jo Shercliffe at 877-326-2583. Speaking of healthy communities, WMMT's Sydney Bowles brings us the following about a weekend of free medical, dental, and vision care in Hazard, Kentucky in early June.
A group called Remote Area Medical will be offering free dental, vision, and medical care on June 8th and 9th in Hazard, Kentucky. I got on the phone with Kaylin Mallard to learn more. I guess to start off with, can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Hi, I'm Kaylin Mallard. I'm the Chief Development Officer with Remote Area Medical. On June 8th and 9th, we will be coming to Hazard, Kentucky to provide a free clinic for those in need in the community. We will offer free dental, vision, and medical services, and those services are available on a first-come, first-served basis to anyone. There's no ID required. There's no proof of income, no proof of insurance. We want anybody to receive care who needs the care.
For someone who's maybe not, who's never been to something like this before, I wonder if you could describe what it might feel like to be in that space.
Absolutely. So we transform all sorts of different spaces into clinic sites. This clinic in Hazard is going to be at an elementary school. It's going to be the East Perry Elementary School. That's 301 Perry Circle Road in Hazard, Kentucky. And so our goal at Remote Area Medical is to make the space replicate a dentist office and an optometrist office and a doctor's office as much as possible. That being said, we are working with an elementary school, so patients can expect to be treated in classroom-type settings. They may be treated in the cafeteria, in the school gym, those types of spaces where they'll receive care. All of our volunteers that are providing services are licensed. They're very professional, and they're there to provide the highest quality and standard of care that they can.
So I heard that you're going to be making eyeglasses on site. Is that right?
Yes, we are. At almost all of our clinics, where we're offering pretty much every clinic where we offer vision services, we make prescription eyeglasses on site. So the way that works is patients who arrive at the clinic can have a free comprehensive eye exam, and then if a patient has a prescription, needs a different prescription, then we will make those eyeglasses on site in our mobile eye lab. So about 80% of the time, we can make those eyeglasses the same day. We have a range of frames. They're all new. Many of them are designer. About 20% of the time, if the patient has a more complicated prescription, maybe it's a more advanced bifocal prescription, something like that, and we don't stock the lenses on our eye lab, then we will still make that patient a free pair of eyeglasses. We'll just bring the prescription back to our headquarters, and it may take 4 to 6 weeks before we'll mail the patient those eyeglasses.
I also heard there's going to be free birth control for the first time.
There is, yes. We will have very limited number of IUDs available. We'll also have oral contraception, a few other different forms of birth control for women at the clinics. In addition to that, we're going to have some STD testing available and also a lot of counseling. So if you are a woman in the community and you're not sure if you want to have a child soon, or you're trying to think about what kind of birth control is the best birth control for you, we will have people on site. We'll have women's health providers who can talk to you about what your options may be and what might be the best fit for you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that about counseling services and information about what's available, because I feel like, you know, if you're hearing about this for the first time, maybe on our program, you're not sure what to expect, you might think that this isn't for you. So I wonder what you might say to someone who's listening to the program, thinking about maybe going, but isn't sure that, you know, that this is the right event for them.
This is for anyone who has any challenges or barriers accessing or affording healthcare. This is for no matter what your background is, no matter your age, your stage in life, this clinic is for you. So if there is any impediment to getting dental care, vision care, or medical care, including birth control, please come to the clinic.
And this is totally free, right?
Yes. Yes, we don't charge anything for these services. It is all free.
Is there any last words that you would want to share?
I will just add one note to be there as early as possible in order to receive services. Unfortunately, we do have a limited number of birth control. We do have a limited number of people that we can see in dental or vision care on each day. So we typically open the parking lot no later than midnight. We encourage people to get there as soon as possible. And then usually we'll give out tickets at 3 a.m., and that's on Saturday and Sunday. And we'll serve people on a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay, one more time. What's the location for this?
It is East Perry Elementary School, 301 Perry Circle Road in Hazard.
Okay. Thanks for chatting, Kaylin.
You're so welcome. Anytime.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Once again, the event is June 8th and 9th at the East Perry Elementary School in Hazard. The event is first come, first serve, and Kaylin recommends arriving early. This is WMMT, and I'm Sydney Bowles.
Last but not least in this episode of Mountain News, it's almost seed time. WMMT's Rachel Geringer brings us the following update on Appleshop's annual festival.
Woke up this morning, feeling bad. Had the worst hang over than I ever had. And I know that my baby had it going on.
Appleshop's 33rd annual Seed Time on the Cumberland Festival kicks off June 7th with 2 days of live music, crafts, film screenings, poetry readings, book talks, and more. You can catch Amethyst Kia, a self-proclaimed Southern Gothic songster from Johnson City, Tennessee, who we're hearing right now, on Saturday, June 8th at 5 p.m. Yeah. I sat down with Seed Time coordinator Pierston Hobbs to chat about the lineup for Seed Time 2019. So, for folks who don't know what Seed Time is, how would you describe it?
Seed Time on the Cumberland is Appleshop's free annual festival of mountain arts, and it occurs this year specifically on June 7th and 8th, Friday, June 7th, Saturday, June 8th, on the Appleshop grounds here in downtown Whitesburg.
Way down in southern Texas, that's where
This is Rich and the Po' Boys. You can catch John Haywood, who's singing and picking banjo on this tune, alongside Letcher County's famed Lee Sexton, on Saturday at 1 p.m. on the main stage.
I put my feet in the stirrup, and I bidded them all goodbye. I heard them Indians coming.
What's some of the lineup? I know we probably don't have time to talk about everybody performing, but...
Well, this year is special in particular. I don't want to talk too much about it. But so with our new solar stage, solar pavilion, artists to grace that stage include the always spectacular and fabulous Amethyst Kia, Hubby Jenkins, Cornbread and Tortillas, which is a fusion Latin Appalachian string band. We've got local master musicians. We've got Lee Sexton and John Haywood, John Harrod and friends. There's a lot going on. So
yeah, and there's film screenings and book talks mm-hmm. and poetry reading and mm-hmm. all sorts of other stuff going on too.
Yeah.
Craft tent,
wood-fired pizza,
yeah.
Brews from West Six Brewing from Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And quite a bit. And also Carcassonne, which is the oldest running square dance in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. They're doing their dance at seed time this year.
This is John Harrod, who performs Saturday, June 8th at 3 p.m. on the main stage. I also sat down with Marley Green to chat more about Appleshop's brand new solar pavilion, under which much of seed time will take place this year.
So my name is Marley Green. I work here at the Apple Shop as a community development worker. And so that means a lot of different things and some fundraising and grant writing, but it's also a lot of working with our community partners to support their projects and to initiate projects that we can partner with. So yeah, as far as seed time, I've been helping to spearhead this project to build a new solar pavilion here at the shop.
Yeah, so I wonder if you could talk about the solar pavilion. Like, what is it? Why are we doing it? How's it going?
Yeah, so we, a little over a year ago, got to looking at our energy bills and looking at the rising energy rates that AEP is applying to all customers, but there's a extra rate that small consumer or small commercial buildings like us are paying. So we've been seeing a lot of rate increases. And so we got thinking about what that would mean in the long run and ways that we could decrease our energy use or our energy costs. And one thing that we got looking at was solar. And lots of reasons to go solar, from protecting the environment to sort of stabilizing and decreasing over time our energy bills. And so we were looking at it, and a lot of times solar goes on the roof of a building, but for anybody who's been to the Apple Shop or driven by, you might have noticed that we have a pretty funny roof line, and there's not a lot of just flat space up there for solar panels. So we were thinking about maybe we put it on the ground, but we have this thing that we do every year for 33 years called Sea Time on the Cumberland. And normally that we rent a big tent for that weekend for the Sea Time Festival, and it goes right where we would want to put the solar panels. And so we got to talking, and we thought maybe we could build a structure that could house both Sea Time on the Cumberland and these solar panels. And so that was sort of the birth of the idea of the solar pavilion. So it's coming very quickly together now, and it will be ready for performances during seed time. But it's a 40 foot by 80 foot long steel structure with a roof made of solar panels. We sort of on recommendation from Jim Webb wanted to make this something that would really stand out, that would be unique and special. We got looking at these solar panels from a company called Lumos that are sort of integrated into the architecture. And so the panels are actually like skylights the whole way of the building. So it creates a really unique effect, and it really also showcases solar. And I think that's one other reason why we wanted to go solar here at Apple Shop, is to show our neighbors and other folks in across Appalachia that, you know, solar is here. It's it costs as much as electricity from the grid at this point. They call it grid parity. And so, you know, it's doable. It's here. And but sometimes until you see solar really working in your community, you know, a lot of people might be hesitant or doubtful about it. And so one reason we wanted to do it was to say, you know, here, look, it's here, it's doable, and you can do it too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And so part of seed time this year, seed time kicks off with a ribbon cutting for this pavilion, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we wanted to, it's been a long process, and we wanted to just have a sort of moment where we say, okay, this is ready for the public, and this is ready for people to see. So we have started planning a ribbon cutting next Friday, the 7th, to kick off seed time. So music starts at 4, and at 3:30, we're going to invite everybody who had a hand in building the pavilion and a couple of local elected representatives like Angie Hatton and Mayor Kraft there to celebrate with us and to join with us in opening this new building to the public. So, yep, we'll have a ribbon cutting, and then the music will kick right off at 4 o'clock. And the only other thing I want to say is we'll also be hopefully unveiling a little plaque in honor of Jim Webb at the ribbon cutting, because Jim was a big proponent of this whole project and of solar in general, of sort of economic transition and renewable energy here in Appalachia. So we wanted to sort of give him a shout out and give him a space to sort of be with us at the solar pavilion.
Though the soil of my heart has been cold, these Kentucky mountain songs have found their home.
This is Lara Helene, who you can catch live on the main stage at 4 p.m. on Friday, June 7th, directly after the ribbon cutting for the brand new solar pavilion. In addition to live music in the Solar Pavilion, there will be a variety of film screenings and talks in the Apple Shops Theater, including a book talk by Carita Brown, author of Gone Home, Race and Roots Across Appalachia. There will be an exhibit in the Apple Shop Gallery, and of course, the annual Seed Time Punk Show, Saturday night at the Boone Building. To learn more, visit seedtimefestival.org. That's S-E-E-D. TIME festival.org.
And watered by a bottle of bourbon, I can't cut them all. When I am just now learning, my roots were made to grow into this bluegrass.
For WMMT, I'm Rachel Geringer.
That's it for this episode of Mountain News. Our intro and break music was Nate Polly with a tune called Lost in the Kudzu from his 2018 album Headed Back from Apple Shop's own June Apple Recordings. You can catch Nate Polly live with Rich Kirby and Jimmy McCown on Friday, June 7th at 6 p.m. during Apple Shop's 33rd annual Seed Time on the Cumberland Festival. If you can't make it to the event, you can listen to all of the main stage performances streaming live on WMMT, starting Friday, June 7th at 4 p.m. and running through Saturday, June 8th at 9 p.m. If you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, you can find them on our website at WMMT.org or download Mountain News as a podcast from SoundCloud or Stitcher. I've been your host, Alexandra Werner Winslow, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.